Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here, another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Got my cup of King James here, and I'm ready to go. Seriously, if you do not have the King James Pure Bible Search software, I encourage you to get a cup of it. It is at purebiblesearch.com. It's a free download for Windows, Mac, and Linux. No Android, iPad yet. Okay, it's being worked on, but we'll get there. Anyway, free of charge, we want you to download that. We want you to study the Word, to study the Word of God and only the Word of God. And I promise you, the emails that we get in from people, Pastor Mike, I was using the software. I saw this, and the Lord connected me to this. I love it. I love how people are studying the Bible now. We're going to study Revelation 13, verses 8 and 9. Last week, we dealt with the ability that it was given to the beast to make war with the saints, to overcome them. That's a big thing. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All nations, all kinds of people, kindred, races is the term we use now, and tongues, doesn't matter what language they speak. He is going to be the all-encompassing Lord over all of these people, with one exception. Verses 8 and 9, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." We're going to be talking about that book of life and what it is. But I want you to look at this verse for what it says. Everybody that dwells on the earth is not just going to say, well, that stupid beast is, you know, lording over us, and I don't like his policies. I'm a Republican. I don't like that stuff. It's not like that. The world is going to worship him. I want you to fathom that. The world is going to, they're going to revere him. They're going to reverence this beast. They're going to offer some sort of oblations to him. They're going to be crossing themselves or whatever it is. They're going to be worshiping this beast, with the exception of those who have their names written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, here's what I see. I see a parallel, 2 Thessalonians 2. So let's go there. 2 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to go back to the book of Daniel here shortly. All right, let's just kind of pull that up and get it ready there. Daniel chapter 3. All right, so 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." What day? "The coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him." That is what is in the circle. Remember, the Bible teaches us to walk circumspectly. And it applies in many different ways. Look around you. Be aware of maybe the dangers that are around you, especially if you're walking on certain parts of town in the middle of the night. But then, as Christians, I believe when we study, don't just take an isolated verse and take it out of where it is. Because people can do that and then make that verse say whatever they want to. But here's the context. Here's the circle, the neighborhood that this lives in. "The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." It happens first, not second, third, fourth, fifth. It happens the very first thing here mentioned in this passage. The falling away takes place. Now, I'm sure you'll find some Greek commentary, some guy that says, now in the original Greek, it should better be translated as being caught up. Did you see that? It has changed the whole meaning of the entire verse, because some people are so adamant and insistent that the translation is going to take place before anything else happens. Therefore, we don't have to really concern ourselves with really most of anything that's in the Bible. That is not what it says. What it says is, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. If anybody worships God now, when he comes along, he's going to exalt himself above that so that people would then be worshiping him. Remember, we have the Most High God. This man of sin is going to try to project himself as being over the Most High God. So then the Most High God wouldn't be the Most High God anymore. He would be like the second Most High God. This man of sin wants to be the Most High. Remember what Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I'll say, so anyway, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's what we're seeing in Revelation 13. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Two types of people. Those that perish, those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because they received not the love of the truth. I hate the King James Bible. That's so archaic. It's not really for us anymore. That's what people say. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, see, there's the word cause again. Cause always has an effect. The effect of everybody rejecting the truth, rejecting the Word of God, not having a love for the truth. The consequences of that is God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's Revelation 13. That's what's being talked about here. So all the people of the earth whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, if any man have an ear, let him hear. All of those people are going to fall away. Those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, they won't fall. They'll be, Paul said, having done all to stand. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3:11, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Everybody else fell. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they stood. At that point, it's very obvious who's on the Lord's side and who isn't. A lot of people right now say they're Christian. A lot of people say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, I'm just as good a Christian as anybody else. A lot of people say those things. They're not necessarily true. We don't have any way of judging whether or not people know the Lord and are saved. We can't do that. How many times have we been fooled? How many times have people just gone bad that we thought were Christians? A lot. So how are we going to find out? There's going to come a day when it's going to be very clear that there are going to be some standing and some that fell. And I believe that day is coming. I think it's coming. I don't know how soon. We're just going to occupy and do the work until the Lord brings about that day. Here's something interesting that I like, okay? I used the software, Pure Bible Search, and it's relatively easy. I typed in the phrase Book of Life, and I had it search the entire King James Bible for that exact phrase, not, you know, how some Bible search softwares will find a verse with the word book here, the word of here, and the word life down here. This doesn't do it unless you tell it to. There's a way to tell it to do that. But if you type in Book of Life, it will give you exactly the results for that exact phrase, Book of Life. Eight times in the King James Bible. Eight. You're going to like this. 8 is the number for new beginning, new life. Think of the 7-day week. And then on the 8th day, it starts all over again. It's a new week. It's a new start. Think of, let's see here. Well, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. And then after that, God does away with the old heaven and the old earth. It's consumed with a fire. And then a new heavens and a new earth comes in. So that's a new beginning. It's a new start. It's new life. You're going to like this. Where do we find this? Where do we find this meaning, this definition? Isaac, circumcised on the 8th day. We know what that's a picture of. We know that it's a picture of the flesh, circumcision of the heart, the inward part of us being circumcised, the flesh being taken off. And that is salvation. That is new life. It's a new beginning. Genesis chapter 8. We go to the 8th chapter of the Bible. 7 is for perfection and completion. 7 days a week, God said, I'm done. In Genesis 7, God said, I'm done. 7 days, and I'm going to destroy the world with flood. So it happened exactly the way God said, and God ended the old world in the 7th chapter of the Bible. In the 8th chapter of the Bible, here's what we see. Genesis 8, 1, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And then in verse 15, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, with thee. Now it's a new earth. It's been cleansed by water. Now, and you can just imagine that if you read that story, you'll see that Noah and the people were on the ark, and the animals were, even after the water started going down. Why didn't they get off the ark right then? Have you ever seen a river that runs dry and the muddy mess that it leaves? It's awful. You can't do anything in it. So what I think Noah had to do was had to wait until all of those seeds that had been embedded in the ground, when that water went down and that sun came up, all of a sudden those seeds now are popping up. Now we're growing trees. Now we're growing grass. Now we're doing things like this. Now, after several months, now can Noah and his family actually go off of the ark. They can actually walk around now because the vegetation has come back on the earth. Anyway, that was just a little side item there. But here's what's interesting to me. The book of life, I want you to think about it. This is a book of life. The book of life mentioned eight times in the Bible. In Genesis 8, you have Noah, his wife, his sons, which were 3, and his sons' wives, which were another 3. I like this. You have 8, let's see if I can do that, 8 people coming off of the ark in Genesis chapter 8, starting over again. Exactly 8 people. It's actually 4 couples. Hang on. 1 Peter 3:20 mentions Noah with that number. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Then 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person. He's number 8. He's a picture of going from the old world to the new world. Remember the beast. What is he? He is the 8th and is of the 7. He goes from the pit up to the earth. It's like a recycling thing for him. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I mentioned this. We don't just have 8 random people. We have 4 pairs of people. Noah and his wife, Shem and his wife, Ham and his wife, Japheth and his wife. So they're coupled together. And anytime I see this, and we're going to show you the connection between this, that number, and how they're mated together in the book of life. Because you see, you and I have inside of us a book. It's DNA. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So he's talking about the book of DNA. It is a book of life. There is not anything in this world that has life that doesn't have DNA. Plants have DNA. Animals have DNA. Viruses are DNA. Germs have DNA. Fish in the sea have DNA. If it's alive or it ever lived, it had a book of life in it. And here's how it works. And I've explained this so many times, but I just love the connect. I saw this for the first time last night. I'm going, wait a minute, that's four couples. Okay, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. In DNA, you have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. It's actually two things that are joined together by four base pairs. They call them base pairs because adenine always hooks with thymine. Guanine always hooks in with guanine and cytosine. So you have four base pairs. And let's say you had on this side, you had adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine here. That would mean that on this side, if it's adenine here, it has to be thymine. If it's guanine here, it has to be cytosine. If it's cytosine here, it has to be guanine. And if it's thymine here, it has to be adenine. It can't be anything else. They're perfectly mated together. Just like Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And you know why God specifically said he wanted to preserve, he wanted Noah to build the ark? To preserve seed. Seed is DNA. He wanted to preserve seed. So he had a family on that ark that represented this. The four base pairs of DNA joining the two strands together. I love it. I just hit this last night going through these notes. I'm just going, that's cool. That is awesome. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. It was the Spirit of God brought all the animals so they could connect together. After they came off the ark, Noah and his family all joined together to preserve seed, and none shall want her mate. Now let's apply this, number one, to DNA. And I've taught this before, I'm going to go through it again. When a cell, any cell in your body, it has the DNA code in it. When your cell is going to make a new cell, it's going to make an exact duplicate of the DNA that's in it. So you remember cell mitosis, right? The cell starts pinching in half, and a new piece is going to go over here. What the original cell does, it takes the DNA, which is rolled up like a book. Think about it, like a scroll. And it's opened up, it's unrolled. Jesus opens the book, lays it out. Then there's this enzyme that unzips the DNA. It breaks the hydrogen bonds that are joining the four base pairs together, breaks them apart. It rightly divides it. Okay? Rightly divides the word of the book of your DNA. This copy stays in the old cell. This copy goes to the new cell. But here's the problem. Where's the other half? Where's the other half? So God designed it so that this one strand of DNA, which is RNA, this one strand here can actually manufacture another set just like the old one because of the rules. This is adenine, this must be thymine. This is guanine, this must be cytosine, and so on and so on. So that literally none shall want her mate. Stupidest movie I've ever wasted my time to watch was the Noah movie with Russell Crowe. In it, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who was it? Japheth or Shem, one of the two, they were the only ones. There was only one guy that had a wife that survived the flood. Poor Ham and I guess Shem, they didn't have no wife on the ark. What are they going to do? Well, it just so happens by miracle of God that the one woman on there, she gives birth to twin girls. And you're going, oh, I got it now. That's like cool. No, it's not. That's unbiblical. It's not what God said. God preserved the four couples in that ark. He preserved the seed. That's what he was showing in there. God preserved it. Ham, Japheth, and Shem, all three, took their wives onto the ark with them. When they came off the ark, all of a sudden now, little bunny rabbits are jumping everywhere, squirrels are running up and down trees, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives are having babies. Lots of them. That's how it worked. Not one of those boys wanted for his mate, or I could say girls, because none shall want her mate. Not any one of those girls on that ark wanted for her husband, which means, I want a husband, but I don't have it. None shall want her mate, which means that they have a mate. Same thing between the DNA strands. When they join together, it's perfectly joined together. Rightly divided, everything's laid out perfectly. Everything matches together. Anybody who's studied the Bible honestly, honestly, and not with some skewed glasses from some expositor who makes up all kinds of stupid stuff. Anybody who studied this book, you'll see that there are passages here in the Old Testament that mate perfectly with places here in the New Testament. Anybody that's honest will tell you that. They're not contradictory to one another. Like I was told, the Bible contradicts itself. Unless you apply these special rules. No. It doesn't. You're just not reading it right. This, the Old Testament, joined with the New Testament. Here's the base pairs here. Here's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that absolutely and perfectly correlate the old with the new. I love it. I absolutely love it. All right? Now, eight times the phrase Book of Life is mentioned in the King James. Of course, one of them would be Revelation 13:8. What is this Book of Life? I heard from somebody, I don't remember who it was, said the Book of Life is actually the book of all those who are alive on the earth. It's the book of all living. That's not anything special. It's just everybody that's alive. Let's look and see what the Bible says. All right? Philippians 4:3. First place you're going to find it in the Bible. Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the Book of Life. He calls them true yoke fellows. They're fellow laborers, and their names are in the Book of Life. These are not just alive people versus dead people. It's not what it means. It says the Book of Life, and their names are in the Book of Life. They are true yoke fellows. They are. Paul said, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So the people that Paul hooked himself up with were true yoke fellows. They both carried the burden, Paul and whoever it was, fellow laborers with him. Revelation 3:5. Here's another. You can look this up and see for yourself. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He said, he that overcometh. I believe that God's true saints, those who are truly born again, who have the seal of God in them, which is the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our inheritance. I believe that God's saints are sealed. Those sealed saints overcome. There are those who play Christian. They're not sealed. They will not overcome. It's as simple as that. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. Remember what that is? White raiment, Revelation 19, is the righteousness of the saints. Okay? It's not the righteous deeds of church people. That's work salvation. This robe was granted that she should be adorned in it. It was given to her. It's Christ our righteousness. We put on Christ. But anyway, if those who overcome, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I won't do it. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 17:8. Here again, it's talking about the beast in reference to the book of life. So two passages already we have seen that it's related to those who are saints. Those who are saints, who are sealed, they have their name written in the book of life. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. So, if, as some say, the book of life is simply the book of everybody that's alive, then what it's saying here, what you would have to say here is that the people who wander after the beast are dead. I mean, physically dead, if that's the case. I don't believe that's the case. I think this book of life is a record of those saints born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit, sons of God. All right? Anyway, those that dwell on the earth wander after the beast, just like in Revelation 13. They dwell upon the earth, shall worship this beast. Everybody except those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And by the way, whose names are not written in the, this is Revelation 17:8. Look at there. There's that number. Written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means God wrote your name down, Mike Hoggard, in his book before there was a world. Who's all going to be saved? Well, Mike Hoggard is, and so-and-so is, and so-and-so is. That is called the election according to God's foreknowledge. God has the ability, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. God has the ability to see everything all at once, all of human history, everything all at once. God knows the outcome of your life. God knows whether or not you're going to keep going. God knows these things. So he writes people down who have endured, who have overcome, who have been saved, who faint not, who don't forget. All those things that Paul and Peter and James said in the New Testament, all of those ideas about what it is to be a real solid Christian versus those who make a fake pronouncement of faith, never going to follow through with it. They're just going to go, you know what, I don't believe that anymore. I'm going to find a church that doesn't preach this kind of nonsense, that King James Bible stuff. I ain't going there no more. That's fake Christianity, and you and I know it. So anyway, those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, when they see that beast, that quantum beast, they're going to wonder after him. Think about what Jesus said. If it were possible to deceive the very elect, very means truly. Very doesn't mean, oh, they're very much more than everybody else. Very means truly elect. The truly elect people are not going to be deceived by this beast because their names are written in the book of life. The rest of people are. They're going to be deceived by it. They're going to fall for it. They're going to worship that dragon. They're going to worship that beast. They think it's God. God's going to turn them over to that. Here's another one, Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so we have, and if you want to picture this, God showed me this one time. I was speeding. I was going too fast in a zone. I think the speed limit was 30. I thought it was 55. So I got a ticket, and the guy said, you'll have to show up for court on this one. Oh, no. So I'm prepared for the worst. I show up for court. I got my suit on. I mean, I'm ready. My wife and kids are there. And I'm watching things. And God has a reason for everything. And I'm watching. Here's this judge sitting in that bench. The only person in the world who can sit in that bench is that judge. Here is the prosecutor. She was the accuser of the brethren. You know what she had? She had a manila folder. And the judge would say, okay, who's next? And the prosecutor would open a book with this person's stuff in it, read out a name, and then list all of the accusations that the city of Hillsboro was making against these people. And God's going, Mike, you see that? There's the judge. See the accuser right there? The books are being opened, and it's reading out all their stuff that they did wrong. And I'm going, that's cool. By the way, the judge gave me mercy that night. He did. He said, I'm going to forgive it. As long as you don't get any more tickets in a year, this will be like it never happened. It won't even go on your record. And I went. Anyway. The books were open, which is all of their works, all of the unrighteous deeds people commit. But then we have another book. We have a book of life. It's separate from the books of the accusations that are in there. All right? Revelation 20:15, and here's how I know this. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That book of life is the determining factor on who goes to heaven and who goes to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's what that book of life is. Those who are written in that book will not wander after the beast. We will not worship that beast. We'll go, I'm not worshiping that. That's a beast. That's not God. That's the Antichrist. I'm not falling for him. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you throw me in a fiery furnace. I'm not going to bow down to that image. I won't do it. Revelation 21:27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There it is, identifying it with the Lamb. Once again, Revelation 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Here's a book. It has stuff taken out of it, like Acts chapter 8, verse, 837? Yeah. G-O-N-E, gone. Yep. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, gone. Took it out. I feel sorry for you guys. Okay. Tyndale House Publishers. Yeah, I feel sorry for you. You took stuff out. God said, don't do that. You did it. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God's going to take them out of that. Wow. You ponder that, you think about it, all right? You just let the Holy Ghost teach you and tell you what that really means and what that is, okay? In Psalm 69, it's mentioned a little bit differently. It's the book of life here, and then we have the book of living, the book of the living. In Psalm 69, verse 27, the Bible says, add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. See it? See the connection that it makes. The book of life, think about life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you blessing. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. One represented life, one represented death. And so here, the book of life, the book of living, if you're alive, you're alive in Christ. Those who are lost are dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And so those who add iniquity unto their iniquity, let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. They're not in that book. And those people who add iniquity unto iniquity, I don't know if I know what that means yet, but I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to go, they just added iniquity unto iniquity. That's what I think. I think God's people are going to see those things, and we're going to go, wow. Well, this is that which is written in the Scriptures. And we won't fall for it. All right? Now, let's take this idea of life. Let's expand it. We have a book of life. We have the book of the living, which is the book of the righteous people. Their names are written in it. And let's look at the Bible itself being a book of life and the words of life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. So the word, just the word itself, is connected with everlasting life. And let's just be honest, there are two types of people, those who believe the Bible, those who don't believe the Bible. And churches are full of people who don't believe the Word of God. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, which means gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Remember what I said? Anything that has life has DNA in it. It has the Word of God in them, whereby God made them and made them alive. Then in verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Watch this. Look at it this way. Here is the old covenant. The old covenant could not make anybody perfect. The old covenant promised an earthly inheritance to those who obeyed every law and statute of God. That's what it promised. It never promised eternal life, never promised heaven. It promised a temporal life and a temporal or temporary or earthbound inheritance based upon whether or not you kept every law. If you broke one, deal's done. You don't get it. So that means nobody did except Christ. Christ comes, four Gospels. Now he's going to connect better promises and a new covenant with those who have been under the old covenant. They're going to be connected together here. This is death. This is life. And that's what this book does. The words of Jesus, they give life to us. The words of Moses brought death. You see it? It's the law of sin and death. It is a curse to us because we don't do what this book says for us to do. Christ comes along and says, I know you can't. I know you can't do it. That's why we gave you the law. Why? Because I did, Jesus says, I did keep the law. I fulfilled it. And if you want eternal life, you can have it in me, in my words, my new covenant. So that's, these are the words of eternal life. Acts 5:20, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Preaching the word of God, bringing life to people. Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Look at that. As many as were ordained to eternal life. You know what that means? You know what I think it means? I think it means God had already ordained those who were going to have eternal life because they believed. And it's based upon the word of the Lord. It's all connected together. Your eternal life, the sealing of God's Holy Spirit, you just believe that the Bible's true. You may not understand it, may not comprehend everything it says in here, but you believe it's true. I believe it's true. Some people will insist that you must believe their doctrinal statement in order to be a true believer. That's not here. That's not what this says. I don't have to sign on to somebody else's doctrinal statement or doctrinal ego. I don't have to. Not going to. God's not going to judge me on whether I was a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Calvinist or an Arminian, or it doesn't matter. God's not going to judge me on that basis. He's going to judge me on, did you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe the word? Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life. Look at there. The word of life, the book of life, the book of the living, the book of the righteous, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. This book has life in it. I can't prove this, but I think somehow our names are in here. Can't prove it, but I think they are. I think this is the book of life, and I think our names are in here. And I think people that take verses out of the Bible, I think it like somehow takes their name out of it. That's what Jesus said. You take any words out of here, I'll take your name out of the book of life. How's that? Okay, and he was serious about it. Very end of the Bible. The one who wrote the contract, the new covenant to us, put a clause in there that says you can't take any words out, you can't add any words to it. So anyway, we quoted Psalm 139, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So a book of life. I have DNA in me that determines that, you know, my fingers are going to be this long, my hair is going to be this color and thinning over the years. I didn't know that was in the book. When I was young, I had sick hair. Okay, I had that 70s hair. Okay, now I've got the, I'm getting up close to Social Security time. Now I got thinning hair, but that was all written in the book. It's all written down. The DNA of the church is the book. It's the Bible. If churches have this or others as their DNA, they're a different creature, aren't they? There's differences in them. And yet all of God's people who swear to, give their allegiance to, their faith and their trust in this book, we're all the same, aren't we? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Did you see that? In fact, that is the last place in the Old Testament where the word book is mentioned. Now, I want you to look at this again. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. See, I think those of us who fear the Lord should fellowship with one another, instead of fight one another all the time. I think those who believe the book should speak often to one another, encourage one another, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I think that's how it's supposed to be. Because the Lord hears that, and he writes a book of remembrance of them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. God knows who is and who isn't. And it's very simple. Those who are, he writes their name. Those who aren't, their name's not in there. It's very simple. One more thing here. Book of Life. I love it. I've done this before. I love to do it. Such a beautiful, beautiful layout of the Bible. When God impressed upon me one day that the King James was the Word of God, I instantly believed it because it came from God and I knew it. And I accepted that with no evidence whatsoever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I didn't see then what I see now, but I trusted what God said. But then faith becomes sight. Then he begins to supply the evidence. I did a study on this word. In fact, you do this. You take the word book. You study it out. 196 times In the King James Bible, the word book or books is in the King James. Type in the word book, put an asterisk next to it, and hit enter 196 times. Did you know the name Jesus Christ is mentioned 196 times, King James Bible? Did you know the phrase Son of Man 196 times, King James Bible? 196 is, let's see here, it's 70 times, no, 196. It's 49 times 4 is what it is. 7 times 7 times 4, all right? I like that. It's a multiple of 7. The book or books, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, the exact same number of times. And I'm just going, that's not an accident. There's no way in the world that's an accident. The phrase, Word of God, 49 times exactly in this book. From this side to this side, 49 times, 7 times 7. That's not an accident. That's purpose. That's God's order. God is not the author of confusion. So everything's laid out in order. The first occurrence of the word book is in Genesis 5. It's the Old Testament. It's Adam. This is the book of the generations. See the word gene there? Gene, genetics, DNA, the book of the generations of Adam, that applies to this body. In the day that God created man, in the likeness God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. So this here is the book of the generations of Adam. And so Paul said, as in Adam, right now, me and you, as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive again. So we have the book of the generations of Adam here. That's the first mention of the word book, Old Testament. The first New Testament occurrence of the word book is in Matthew chapter 1. First book, first chapter, first verse of the better promises, the new covenant. The book of the generation, singular, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As in Adam, all die. One man sin, many die. One man righteousness, many live. That's what Romans 5 says. It's what it teaches. Okay? Whew. The book of the generation, singular, of Jesus Christ. Generations plural here, generation singular here. I think there's a big difference. Because Adam still lives in me. And I've passed Adam down to my son. My son's going to pass Adam down to his children. Okay? But as in Adam, all die, many generations. Even so in Christ, once we're born again, that's it. Okay? You're not born again. Again, there is no repeated regeneration. That's unbiblical. It's heresy. Okay? Anyway, book of the generations of Adam, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It says here in Genesis 5, that all the days that Adam lived in verse 5 were 930 years and he died. The 930th chapter of your King James Bible, Matthew chapter 1. It takes you from the book of Adam to the book of Christ. That means there are 929 chapters in the Old Testament. The 930th chapter just happens to be the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Whew. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't that simple? You can understand that, don't you? This law, Paul said that this law has dominion over man as long as he liveth. As this law has dominion over my flesh as long as I'm alive. And the moment I die is the reason I die is the law. Because the law killed me. The law slew me. The law lied to me. The law deceived me. And by it, slew me, Paul said. But there's another law in my members. It's the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty. Two laws. One to death, one to everlasting life. Joined together by Jesus in the four Gospels, none shall want her mate. It's the book of life. Man, oh man, oh man. Absolutely beautiful. I love this book. I love teaching it. I love talking about it. I love studying it. I wish I did more of it. I do. I wish I did more of it. Sometimes I want to and don't have time. Sometimes my soul wants to and my flesh says, nah. Nah, let's watch TV. Anyway, God bless you. I love you. Make sure your name is in the book of life. Okay? Just throw this at you. Make sure that your life, it's and the course of your life, the thoughts of your life are centered on this book. And when they are, you'll know your name is written in this book. All right? God bless you. I love you. Read the book. See ya. Bye-bye.